Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem BPJ, share number 158. We are in the 13 things mentally strong couples don't do. We're in number 10. This is the second share of number 10, which is they don't expect the relationship to meet all their needs. Extremely important concept. We will talk today about fulfilling each other's needs, that doing your best you can to support each other with your needs. And it's important to work towards each other with it, but not to have that unrealistic expectation that they could solve all your problems or fulfill all your needs. And if you feel lonely or down or all these things, don't blame it on your wife or husband. Don't think that they necessarily could fill you. You could only fill yourself. Hashem is the only one that could fully heal you. You turn to Hashem. But that doesn't mean you have that safe network for each other to give each other as much as possible within reason in a healthy way to fulfill the needs as best as possible. Doesn't mean you neglect your achrayas that we talk about from the ksuba going both ways. But the idea being, though, is that the unrealistic expectation of that, to expect them to heal all your problems, unrealistic, creating unnecessary and unhealthy resentments that they let you down when there's nothing of the sort. They cannot solve all your problems. Marriage is not a hospital, like Rabbi Tversky said, and it's important to understand that. But with that being said, there is an achrayus to work on fulfilling each other's needs as much as possible. So we will talk about that now very, very briefly. We had a series, His Needs and Her Needs, a list of 10 needs that we gave Shiurim in the main Shalom Bayis group. But we're going to go through them right now. Need, there are 10 needs listed here. One need is admiration. What is admiration? That involves compliments, signs of appreciation, being affirmed by your spouse, that may help you feel respected and valued. This is so, so important. Everyone needs that. It's words of affirmation, love language type of thing, of admiring, complimenting, showing appreciation, showing that care. So that's number one, admiration. Number two is affection. Affection, we're not going on to sexual, that's something different, which we'll talk about soon. But affection simply means whether it's a card that says I love you or hold the hands, non-sexual touch, giving a gift, signs of affections that help people, the couple's bond, using words of affection, words of endearment, again, a hug, a kiss, again, even if a non-sexual way, holding hands, very, very important. Number three is intimate conversation. Intimate conversation means not superficial conversation about just paying bills and things like that, but rather talking about your dreams, talking about your hopes, talking about your aspirations, your fears, that can make a conversation intimate. And these conversations require a certain vulnerability and respect for one another. And it's not easy for many people to do. It requires trust. It requires, you know, you know, vulnerability, because you feel you're getting hurt if you share too much and they don't understand it. So to get to that intimate zone is not easy sometimes, but it's very important to get to. Number four is domestic support. What does domestic support means? All activities that are needed to maintain a household, whether cooking, whether cleaning, raising children, managing day-to-day affairs, which again, a lot of times is stereotypically the woman that takes care of the whole household matters in the house. But it's very, very important that the husband learns to do a lot of those things to help out in the house as well. Domestic support. Number five is family commitment. Couples who have children may experience the need for family commitment to make the family a top priority, to make quality time meet the needs of other family members, whether it's their own children, whether it's their parents, parents and in-laws, siblings, a certain family commitment, a certain achrayus to family. Again, this would require a shear in and of itself, the healthy boundaries of that, because it's not extreme. You know, you have to have borders, but you have to have that certain care in that family commitment towards one another, that the husband respects the wife's family and the wife respects the husband's family, and they work with each other. Number six is the financial support. Here, primarily, it's the chiyuv on the husband to the wife to provide that financial support. Sometimes a wife on her own to support. She helps. It needs to be appreciated when there's two incomes here or the wife is supporting. But either way, this financial support is definitely a healthy need. Sometimes one is unable to work and the other one chips in. So that's another need. Seventh need is the honesty and openness. A high level of honesty and openness is what helps people feel secure, to gain trust by sharing their innermost thoughts and feelings with one another with a true honesty, with a true transparency. Number eight need is physical attractiveness. Appearance could change over time. There's no crime in getting old. It's a bracha to get older. But you still do everything you can to remain physically attracted to one another, and that's a very, very high priority. You dress nicely and presentable and look beautiful, look wonderful. Husbands and wives both, again, you know, your physical features, whatever they are, but you could enhance it and bring out the best of it for your wife, for your husband. Be mekadeshen shemayim, to always look respectful, to be respectful in this way of physical attractiveness. That's why it is important to watch your health, to eat healthy, to be physically fit. It's an achrayus, both on the husband and on the wife. Again, every single one of these needs require separate shiurim, and we gave separate shiurim on it. A wife looking attractive for herself, for her husband. A husband trying to also present himself well by dressing nicely. It's very, very important. A ninth need is recreational companionship. That's doing recreational activities together as a couple, whether it's shopping, whether it's taking walks, biking together, going to dinner together, having fun together. We talked about this a lot. This is not Bittul Torah. This is a mitzvah. It seems like you're doing nothing. Even dating, we talked about when you have date nights as an example, right? When a husband and wife are finally together, let's say they're going out for a dinner, it's important when they do that not to talk about the kids, not to talk about paying bills, not to talk about how to resolve a problem. Sometimes you could do separate things to do that, but these date nights need to be just simply talking about quote-unquote nothing, just enjoying each other's company in a healthy way. Not necessarily trying to tackle any type of issue, just being with each other, having fun with each other, and in nice weather, going camping, picnicking, hiking, walking, boating, whatever it may be, that would create that recreational fun together. And the tenth one is sexual fulfillment. We had a lot of shiurim about this. There is an emotional need for sex. It's not just a physical need. We said this many, many, many times, both for husbands and for wives. It's an emotional connection in a monogamous relationship. And it's important to enhance that sexual fulfillment towards one another. It's important to arouse that part of the sexuality aspects with each other. That's not being ma'ir taiva in unhealthy ways. No, that's not. In the bedroom between a husband and a wife, it's the most healthiest thing in the world. It's a refuah. It's a refuah for the husband. It's a refuah for the wife. We spoke a lot about this. We gave shiurim based on the Stipler's letters. We gave shiurim on Rav Isaac Sher, his kuntris on this subject. We had a whole book of Binyan Abayis that talked about this subject, and so many shiurim that we went through this subject of sexual fulfillment. It's nicht a kleinigkeit. It's not a small thing. Often neglected, maybe often hyper-focused with younger couples or some people that have, you know, that's all they think about, not healthy either. But in most marriages, unfortunately, it falls into the back burner and it has to be a primary need. So we discuss this, all of these things. But to remember as we are giving this year and talking about fulfilling each other's needs, behind all this is still, with a normal reason, you do this for each other, but the unrealistic expectation of the fulfilling, that your spouse is the crux of your happiness and your fulfillment, is not a healthy attitude. And you have to realize often that when you have a strong reaction to your spouse's behavior, it may not have anything to do with your spouse. I mean, it may not have anything to do with your spouse. Like the example we gave in the last year, where a wife's feeling of abandonment from her husband was not her husband's fault at all. Nothing to do with the husband. It was her abandonment from her father. Or if your mother used to shame you chronically, so when your spouse said something slightly insensitive, it triggers you and you feel that shame. And it's not your wife at all. It's not your husband at all. They're opening up an old emotional wound. That's what happens a lot. And you blame your wife or your husband. They just were the trigger to open up an old emotional wound that you need to deal with. So the idea is to appreciate your spouse as best as you could and to see the good side of things. So as an example, you used to love the fun part of your spouse, the spontaneous part of your spouse, right? But now you look at it as impulsive, right? So this is a big yisayin in marriage too. How every chesaron is really a maila, and every maila is really chesaron, meaning there's two sides of everything. A wife may be more sloppy in the house, not so neat and not so structured, but on the other side of that, what's the maila that goes hand in hand with it? A lev tov, a positive attitude, flamboyant, friendly, loving, right? It goes hand in hand. Or another one is more organized and structured, and everything's there when you need it, and you don't have to remind her 10 times. It's there immediately. All your needs are met. But there's a certain more structure, maybe a little less warmth. So it goes hand in hand. Every good mida has its counterbalance, chesaron, that's built into it. And you have to appreciate both aspects of it and deal with it the right way. So the key is while we talked about the importance of fulfilling each other's needs, don't be overly dependent on your spouse to meet those needs. Don't have unrealistic expectations about that. Don't have that become an emotional burden for each other. So as an example, birthdays and anniversary reminding, sometimes it'll slip and they'll forget the anniversary date or the birthday date. Because for some people, the dates were never important to them. You know, they love their spouse dearly. But birthday dates are not, if they're not reminded, it's not something that they love them all the time. The birthday was never a big thing in growing up. So it's not a big thing growing now. While by your spouse, the birthday was like, that was the main thing. And you forget that, that's a tragedy. That means they don't love you. But that's not the case. So you have to look at it in perspective. The idea is, don't set yourself on fire to keep someone else warm. You share your needs and you talk to each other about it, but understand the boundaries of it. No couple is perfect. No couple will fulfill each other's emotional needs perfectly. It will never happen. You have to just do the best you can, appreciate everything you have, work towards it. It's a work in progress like everything else. It's a work in progress. So it's very, very important. You have to work with parts of yourselves. There's IFS therapy, which Bez Hashem will talk about, that talks about that. The misconception here is this soulmate concept that even though it's true, we are soulmates, but we use this concept of soulmates to believe that you could heal each other, that you create the refuah for each other ultimately. No, only Hashem could do that. You help each other, you work with each other, you do everything you can in your shtadlus to be the best spouse you could, and loving spouse, filling these needs we talked about, but not in an unrealistic way, not expecting perfection, not being judgmental, and being understanding when those needs are sometimes cannot be met, you know, whatever the reasons are, and not to feel bad about it. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu help you all to recognize this big yesod. This is one of the most important yesodais of these 13 things, is that you don't expect your spouse to meet all your needs. You turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do everything you can to fulfill your spouse's needs as best as you could. You don't take blame on, you're not responsible to make them, to heal them. No one is responsible to heal their spouse, just to create an environment of good midas, good character, lev toiv, ayin toiva, hakaras hatoiv, and doing your hishtadlis in fulfilling the needs that we described in this year as best as you could. But healing comes from Hashem. And don't place that burden on your spouse. And The Shekhinah is there with you when you do this. And you bring Hashem in here, in there. You ask Him to heal you both from your emotional pains and your triggers. And you don't allow the triggers to destroy your marriage. You catch on to them and you create that healing. And with that, may the Shekhinah dwell in every one of our homes. And with that, the Geula Shleima will indeed come. Be'ezus Hashem. B'mehirah v'yameinu. Bracha v'atzlacha.